Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are 10 minutes late, and it is, what is it, the 18th, the 19th? What date is it?
It's the fullest 19th. Moon 19th I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, big giant moon.
Gigantic. What's the story with that?
It does that once ever so often.
Oh.
It's really close, apparently.
I think the new moon like this, it's called, I think it's a new moon or full moon, whatever it's called. It's
gonna snow be, moon.
What is it, snow moon?
Well, it turns out that when the moon comes real close to the Earth and you get this giant full moon, it's named after the season that it's taking place in. And this was called the snow moon. You get a harvest moon. I think it's in October or something. There's these different, they have different names, nomenclatures for these moons when they show up. They're not every month, obviously. They happen every so often.
Yeah. Well, it is big. And I think the next one that we'll see this size is like 2026.
Yeah, it's always something like that.
Yeah, it's something that you got to go see this right now because it's not going to happen for like another 10 years. You just put a magnifying glass on it. It'll be just the same. So what's the difference? You know? So let's get into some of the things that are going on here. You had a little bit of problem with your Skype.
Yeah, we're late getting the show started because I couldn't get my Skype's been updated two or three times because of what they do. And they've changed it so you can't make settings very easily.
Yeah, they hide.
It used to be a little top menu line and it would say, you know, settings or options or something. And you'd have a nice menu if you could look, see what speakers you were using, what mic you were using. You had all these things you could change. You could monitor the intensity of the whatever it is, a VU meter. And now you look around and there's nothing. Yeah. If you put the arrow on the screen, you do see a little gear, which is when you click on the gear, it gives you window, float, and then audio and video settings. So then you have to click on that. And now you get kind of a hokey version of what was once a very complete set of tools. Now it's just nothing, just speakers and microphone.
Advancement in software.
This is Microsoft screwing with. This is typical of a product that was very useful, and it's just being made harder and harder to use because of guys dicking around.
Well, this is the kind of thing where people need to stay in a job position. So what they do is they have changes just to make changes, and it seems that they don't think through the process.
Oh, they're thinking through it.
Oh. Too much thinking. Too much thinking. You know, I'll just mention something. You know, we start the podcast with a couple of interesting points here. I listened to a couple of podcasts this week that I don't even understand why people would go on the air. These are video podcasts that I was watching, and it was a financial related podcast. The people were so boring. I mean, just deathly boring. They started talking about this paper and the charts on the paper. It's a video, okay? They're talking about the charts on the paper, and you can see this and that. They don't even flash the chart on the screen so people could.
They're just talking about a chart that's in front of them?
I mean, we do that here because it's an audio podcast. There is no way for us to actually physically have people looking at this at the time that we're talking about it.
Right.
But if we were doing a video podcast, I would think that, especially if it's live and we have this whole little studio going on, we'd have somebody flashing something on the screen.
Yeah, or you have one camera that's dedicated to a where you can put the chart in front of it kind of thing.
That's crazy.
Or something.
Crazy stuff. All right, let's get into some of the things that are going on with the markets here. We have a short week for markets, of course. We celebrated President's Day. By the way, speaking of this, I've heard a lot of people talking about, I didn't take off President's Day this year, even though it was a federal holiday. And I said, well, why is that? Well, because we had a choice whether we want to take an extra day for Labor Day or Memorial Day, and we can have an extra day there. We can still take the day, but we can move it around. Have you heard this kind of thing
going on? No, I've not heard this at all. I was looking into the holiday. It's a very weird holiday because 9 states don't really observe it, even though it's a federal holiday, but including Florida. Maybe the kids get off, but the state government's still open. And some people call it President's Day. Some people call it Washington's birthday. Arizona calls it Lincoln's and Washington's President's Day. It's just very strange. It's very screwy. It's very inconsistent.
Well, maybe that's why they're doing this, but it's almost like here is your holiday package. You get five holidays off a year. Figure out where you want to place the dates. The problem is with that, it creates confusion.
Well, not only that, but it creates, it's hard on employers. They can't, you know, the guy's not going to be there because he's on a fake holiday.
Yeah. We don't know who's going to be where.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And like, one more thing before we continue with this. Someone today wrote me a note and said that they accused me of something called up-talking. What is this?
Yeah.
This is when you.
Well, up-talking is talking like this, and then I got something to say. And I'm going to tell you now what I'm going to say. When I tell you now, you're going to understand.
I don't think I do that.
What up talking is.
Oh, that's annoying. That's annoying.
I don't do it either. If you did it, I'd be bitching about it.
Yeah. So annoying. Yep. Oh, and you do it in a form of a question. So you have some kind of way of bringing your octave up or the tone up, and it seems to be a question, like you're almost wondering if what you're saying is actually the truth.
Do you believe me?
Yeah. All right, we also have cryptocurrencies moving again. The Bitcoin was moving pretty well off of 3,300 base or so, but up to close to 4,000. We have 8 weeks of up markets. China currency is moving, part of a trade deal maybe happening. We're not sure. This is show number 444, by the way.
Yeah, good number.
So I'm not sure what that exactly means, but it means something. That should be the donation. $44.44 or $444.
Dynamite.
$4.44. Maybe make it a monthly regular thing. It's how we get this show going, keep it going, and make sure to keep it fresh. So the rally keeps on rallying. Markets continue their winning streak. We have this whole idea.
Jeez.
That China and the U.S. are going to have some kind of pact. We've been seeing all these little bitty incremental discussions. For example, we saw that today there was this idea that China's going to adopt a stable yuan. Yuan, as they say, yuan.
Yeah, it's yuan.
Yep, they're gonna adopt a stable currency provision related to trade. So, this actually had a major implication to risk assets, because as the Chinese currency was rising, the dollar continued to turn over and fall. And even though we saw what happened last week with Europe and the discussions about their economy, et cetera, and the euro falling, what happened here is that because the Chinese currency started rising, there was the idea that two things. Number one, their currency moving up would make the opportunity to buy things like gold or oil or copper a lot cheaper for them. And they're a big, you know, they're a big buyer of these things. So we saw all of these metals. I mean, gold is starting to move very dramatically. Oil's continuing to stay high. Copper hit a 6-month high, and equities are starting to move or continuing to move. And then we have the cryptocurrencies that are just ripping. You know, we're talking about, what is that, 18-20% after no movement for a month.
Strange.
So I don't know if we're getting any closer. Are we getting closer to a deal?
Closer to what? A collapse?
Are we getting closer to a China deal? Do you think this is going to happen?
This is baffling to me. It's probably going to have to happen, but it may take longer than we think.
Well, already they're hedging and saying that they maybe won't increase the tariffs on March 1st. You know, March 1st is the deadline for when the tariffs on about $200 billion tranche of Chinese imported goods are going to be increased to 25% from 10%.
Yeah.
And this is the, you know, the hard stop. This is the line in the sand. This is the red line that we don't cross. This is the date that's going to happen. And now we're like, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll see what happens. You know, the old, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It seems to me that it's like
Brexit. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. They're setting the stage for it not happening.
It sounds like it. Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like.
So I my bet still is that we're going to get a deal done. It may not be done March 1st, but we're going to get a deal done. No matter how good or bad it is, they'll be buying some soybeans. Maybe we'll tell them they have to do something about the currency. Maybe we'll have some kind of a framework for intellectual property issues. And then that's it. We won. We got a great deal.
We won.
Everything's back. We're winning again. So I still also believe that after we get something done, reality is going to set in with the markets. That, you know, maybe you got it done, but we had 6 months of this aggravation and look how much damage it's done to the rest of the world. And look what is happening, for example, in other areas of Asia. Look at South Korea, Singapore. Look at what's happening in Japan. And just look what's going on around the world in terms of economics. Look how much weaker we've seen the whole entire world, the global economy, in the last 6 months than we saw it prior to that. That's with all the wonderful things, which with the Fed's backing off. That's with the tax cuts that were implemented and fully put through. All this going on, still a much weaker economy. So I think that it's not going to help if they cut.
No, maybe they just keep stalling then.
Yeah, that's their play. One of the things I also noticed was that last week we talked about the 200-day moving average and how stocks were getting close to it and looks like they're going to hit to the top of it and maybe move a little bit above.
Yeah.
Well, this week I looked at something. I looked at the S&P 500 and the stocks that are in that composite and how they are looking compared to their 50-day moving average.
Mm-hmm.
But not the actual S&P 500, the actual companies themselves. And what I found was that 92% of the stocks in the S&P 500 are now above their 50-day moving average and some substantially above again. At the low in December, only 1% was above.
Oh.
So when you see these kind of numbers, when you see that divergence, and again, it depends on how much over we are, if it's just right over, but 92% of the S&P stocks over the 50-day moving average is talks about a broad-based rally. It talks about, obviously, a major recovery from the lows, but very rarely do you see that kind of number. I mean, I look back in history. I don't have a chart for you, but I look back in history, and I only saw that, you know, you see that from time to time, but it didn't last at those levels. Sort of in the...
So you think we're in store for a big correction?
I don't know about a big correction, but it looks like things are a little bit overdone. Are they overdone? I don't know.
You can't even do a good up-talk.
I can't even do a good up-talk.
I can.
But when you see these kind of numbers, I mean, it is a flashing green light when you see the kind of numbers we saw in December. Everybody should go back and look at all the different indicators back in December, the whole month of December. Just look at what happened there and find when that happens again and realize you should just back the truck up at that point and buy. Because those were pretty substantial oversold levels from just any indicator you want to look at. You want to look at how far we were on a standard deviation below the 50, the 200-day moving average for stocks in total or stocks individually. You want to look at things like the McClellan Oscillator. You want to look at Spearman. You want to look at RSI. Just a whole bunch of things you can look at.
Yeah, everything. They all say the same thing.
Right. And this was very clear cut. There was a lot of pain. And if you invested, you probably would have had some pain throughout the bottoming process. But here we are where we have the same thing. And now everybody's like, well, that's good. We see, look at this great recovery. Remember, everything cycles. You know that better than anybody.
Yeah, I'm the cycle guy.
You're the cycle guy. The Eurozone economy continued to show weakening. As a matter of fact, last week, the ECB was hinting, this is their central bank, the European Central Bank, the equivalent to our Fed. They were hinting that they may look to start their LTRO, which is their version of quantitative easing or bond buying program. They're talking about starting that back up again. And what's interesting is just a few months ago, they're talking about considering a rate hike towards the end of this year. So I keep coming back to this whole idea of, is it really good that we're seeing that the Fed is and the ECB and other central banks are laying off, not constraining liquidity, keeping rates level where they are today? Or is it more of a warning sign that there is a potential real problem out there that they were spooked about, aside from the markets? I don't know. You can go both ways on this.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. It's a big problem because it's not very clear cut. The Fed is, of course, we know the Fed's job, even though they talk about their dual mandate about, you know, price stability or related to inflation and related to the jobs numbers. The fact of the matter is they're market cheerleaders. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
And it seems like Jay Powell needs to get a little kick in the head to remind him what his real job was. It wasn't to really make sure the economy wouldn't overheat and keeping everything exactly. It was all about the stock market.
That's their new role.
Yeah, that's the role it's always been.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, whenever, if you think about what really was the catalyst to moving the markets back up, it was definitely right on the time when Powell started to turning a bit more dovish. So with the idea that the economies around the world have been slowing, I thought we would look and take a look once again at the Citibank or the Citi Research gauge of U.S. economic data, their surprise index, looking at the comparison of what economic analysts and economic pundits are expecting and actually how the economic numbers came in. So it does a comparative. So if they're all saying that things are going to be really bad and economic numbers come in better to the surprise to the upside, you'll see a really big number on the upside. And that's kind of good because they're undercutting what they believe it is. The economy is performing better, et cetera. Same thing on the opposite side when they're thinking things will be, you know, X and they come in X minus two. So this is a measurement of the U.S. economy. And it looks at if whether the data is coming in weaker or stronger than the analysts are forecasting. So what's interesting, there's a chart here that you can't see because it's audio. But take a look at this.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
So we're seeing this roll down from, when was that? I guess the high was the start of 2018. And then things started rolling down. You see that?
Yep.
I've always said that markets will actually react either near or in arrears to this or in advance. Let me think about that. This will act first, then you'll see markets start rolling too.
So you think it's a forward indicator?
I believe so, yes. Coincident or forward, but definitely more of a leading. Because what this is saying is that analysts are going to have to start changing. They don't want to be off. They don't want to be wrong. So what they're going to do is they're going to start looking at changing their estimates and they're going to start bringing down their estimates on the economy. And when you see that and they bring it down so low, all of a sudden you'll see it turn back up again because they're behind the curve.
So, I've been looking at this chart before and it's a cyclical, obviously. But I really don't have a good feeling for this chart. I don't really know. When I look at it, I don't know what I'm looking at, seriously.
Well, what you okay, you're just seeing colors and bars. What you're looking at right now.
Up and down, up and down, up and down. Right. And then, you know, that's up and do-do-do-doop, and it's got a little roller coaster action here, and then, yeah, it just doesn't, I don't know.
You're
surprised? I'm not surprised. Are you surprised? Well, does that mean I'm surprised?
Well, when you look at the moves that are lower, we're seeing that there's too much optimism by the analyst community. And as such, if you're basing your economic models and your stock forward forecast based on the economics behind what analysts are predicting. So if you're working in a firm and you and I are working in the firm and you're the stock guy and I'm the economic guy, right? Usually as a team, but let's just leave it at that. And the economic people are forecasting a very good picture outward. The stock guys are going to say, okay, if that's the case, we'll have higher level of equity exposure potentially. And what we'll also do is we'll price the stocks higher because we believe growth is going to continue for a long time. We're not really worried about any kind of a recessionary period. On the opposite side, if the economics team lays out a real negative backdrop, it's possible that the stock team will put that into their forecast for their discounting models and say, you know what? We do not see growth in the United States or whatever country it is moving up on a positive trajectory. Therefore, we want to make sure that we're being a little bit more conservative in our estimates of pricing of stocks. That makes sense?
That makes sense, but it doesn't make sense regarding the chart.
What I'm saying is, if you look at the chart and you find that analysts are too, they're too enthusiastic about the outlook.
And then, and so that means the low numbers on the, in other words, is below the zero line.
Right, below the zero line, meaning that the economic reality is not lining up to what the analysts expected. And what analysts, economic analysts will do from there is they'll start lowering it, their estimates down to meet the actual numbers.
And then they and go, then, the, then it'll jerk up that the chart. It'll go up the other way.
Right. So it takes some time to roll over. So this is, I mean, it's condensed and compressed this chart a bit.
It's about a 1 year. It's about a 1 year peak to peak, from what I can tell. I mean, just on average.
And that's the cycle. You know, you get too optimistic, and then all of a sudden you get pessimistic, and then you get optimistic. But what happens here is you see that optimism rises oftentimes into the beginning of the year. And then it lays off into the mid part of the year. And then it kind of comes up towards the end of the year again, which is exactly what happened last year. They, you know, they can't seem to gauge it correctly. All I'm saying is that when you look at what analysts are doing right now, they are too optimistic. That's what this is saying. Economic analysts.
Well, it's not like they're more optimistic than they were in the middle of 2017 when the chart shows up way down there at the minus whatever, minus 60 or minus 80.
Right, but that, then you get, and then we had a stock market correction. The first, wasn't that the first part of the 2017? I thought we did. But just the first couple of months, I think. 2018, we definitely did. We had a big stock market correction in the beginning, January, February. Then it laid off. Then we got back into grooved on the upside. And then it just blew out, of course, the last quarter. Enough of that. Wasting time on charts that may or may not make sense. But I just think it's interesting to look at.
Well, you know, it'd make more sense if they flipped it.
Flipped it how?
Flipped the axis. So you had the optimism as a peak, not a valley.
So you do an inverse.
Yeah, I think inverse would make more sense.
So let's see. If it was inverted.
Just flip it.
All right. Well, or just turn your head upside down a little bit. It'll probably.
I could try that.
Yeah, you could try
that. Or I could flip the monitor.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I was watching an old movie. I like to watch these old movies. It's not that old, but it's relatively old. Erin Brockovich. Remember that movie?
Yeah, vaguely.
Good movie. That was the story of this woman who went to work for this legal firm, and she found that a company was actually spilling carcinogens into the water stream of this particular town, and the whole town was getting tumors and cancers and horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah.
They denied it, covered it up. Do you remember what company that was?
Well, I always want to think it's some poison company like Monsanto. But I believe it was like the utility company, Pacific Gas, perhaps.
Again, PCG, Pacific Gas and Electric.
Yeah, these guys.
Yeah, those dudes, back at it. Something's a little kind of questionable about their overall desire to maintain a quality of life for people that use their product or that are in their vicinity, I should say. But what's interesting is the stock was up 17% today. This is a stock that's going bankrupt, and it's now at like
$17. This is the one you were just thinking we're going to make out by shorting this sucker, and it's like just the opposite.
Yep, just the opposite. Went up 17% today.
Makes you wonder.
I would like to go back.
It's a lot. I should have gone long with that thing.
Right, exactly. This, you don't know when the stocks are going bankrupt and they're really low. It always seems to me to be a opportunity to buy because eventually the short sellers that are in there are going to get out. They get spooked very easily. Anybody that's short in a name that's going bankrupt seems to be anything that happens positive for the company would spook the shorts.
Yeah. So, spook the shorts.
Spook the shorts. Spooking. All right, let's talk about something, and I need your opinion on this. Question is, does it, I'm going to try this again. Ready? Does it mean anything?
You can't do it.
Can't do it. Does it mean anything? I sound like an idiot.
You can't do it.
So I'm being accused of this, by the way, that I've been doing this, and don't do it, because if I do it, he's going to turn off the podcast. So I don't know. But a record number of Americans are 90 days behind in their car payments. More than 7 million Americans are at least 90 days behind on their auto loans, according to the New York Fed. That's higher than the peak in 2010 as the country was still reeling from the devastating financial crisis. There we go. Devastating financial crisis. And the number of distressed borrowers suggests that not all Americans have benefited from the strong labor markets and warrants continued monitoring, blah, 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 blah. Point, though, is What's going on here? What's the problem?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's start with your...
Hello? Hello? Oh, connection problem. I have to mark this. Are you there? Post-production, we call this post-production.
I have to... I just couldn't afford it to begin with.
Let's just say this. You totally cut out and just came back. What you said was, first of all, then you can go from there.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm going to tell you what happened. So what happened was I got a blocking message. It says Windows Defender Firewall has blocked some of the features of this app. Skype.
So Windows is blocking Skype?
Yeah, this is a Microsoft product.
Should I leave the space in here and not cut this out?
You can if you want. It wasn't cut out that long, was it?
No, it was 10 seconds.
Yeah, I was just saying that I think maybe we got a lot of bad loans.
But we have bad loans. Is that because of the fact of my whole argument that the car industry went for the 7-year deal?
Is it seven?
There's 7-year deals all over the place.
Oh, yeah. No, that's crazy.
So they went for the 7-year deal. They extended the terms of all these deals. It used to be like, wow, I don't want to go over a 3-year. Now it's like, I don't want to go over a 5-year. So the cars they're selling are more expensive. They stretch the payments out a longer period of time, hurting the industry because they don't sell as many cars in between anymore, putting people upside down in their cars from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's what happened. They put people upside down.
Yeah.
Who allows this stuff? Who is behind the regulation of this kind of... I guess if you're buying a $30,000 car, nobody says that... You can't take out a loan for, you could take out a loan for an extended period of time.
They got a 20-year mortgage.
Yeah. I mean, they do it for boats. Boats are a little more expensive, but they do it for boats. You get a 20-year, 30-year on a certain boat.
Yeah. Yeah, and just underwater the whole time when you feel like it, walk.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is necessarily a sign of a problem, a broad-based problem with the economy. I think it's more of an indication that there's something wrong with the industry. Don't you?
I would not argue against that thinking. I mean, I don't know one way or the other, but it's reasonable to say that.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're going to go buy a car, find a good used car and pay cash.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. The last two cars I bought were used. It was such a bargain.
Yeah. Let's see. One, two. I think the last couple of cars we've bought have been used, and I think the last new car I ever bought was my 93, which is now what? 26-year-old Lexus. Everything else has been used.
Somebody is you remember that stock you picked? Let's see what this. What is CACC stock? Remember that stock you picked that was a real winner?
Yeah.
Credit Acceptance Corp. Is that the one? No, that's not the one you picked, is it?
I don't know.
Nah, that's
not. I'd have to look at the list.
It could be. That's back in 2008. It was. Yeah, this was a stock. This is a company that obviously does car coming. Yeah, does car loans and all that. Stock in 2008 was $22, now $450. That's a beauty.
That's nice.
That's a beauty. That's a beauty. All right, getting back to this, here is a question I'm posing to you. Coincidence? That's the question. Is this a coincidence or not? Bernie Sanders announced his 2020 presidential bid this morning. Right when I saw that news hit early this morning in the pre-market, S&P futures fell 10 points.
But really?
Recovered throughout the day. I'm not sure if it was a coincidence or not. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. But it seems to me that there is concern that if he gets in or if one of these Dems get in that's pointing the finger and Elizabeth Warren's now doing some kind of a wealth tax to pay for childcare.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the latest. She's trying to do anything she can to make hay with her wealth tax.
That is going to be, I can't imagine. That would just stymie innovation. That would
stymie. Yeah, well, I don't know if it would. It's a wealth tax on $50 million.
But why would you want to aspire to be wealthy if you're just going to get the rug pulled out from under you?
Well, first of all, this wealth tax is not going to happen.
Okay.
The people that worry about it, I think, are misfooling themselves. And Bernie's not going to get elected, so I don't know why anyone's even bent out of shape about it.
Bernie Sanders. Hey, Bernie Sanders. How does this guy have a Brooklyn accent and he's in Vermont?
You ask that every show.
I don't understand it. I don't understand. I'm Bernie Sanders, I'm looking for you for the 2020 presidential bid. Sounds like somebody from Rocky. Doesn't he? Sounds like a character from Rocky. Yo, Adrian, you're going to vote for me. All right, let's see.
Yeah, you can do it. You apparently nail this, by the way. So you can do it anytime you want.
Let's see what else we got. Huawei. I pronounce this wrong all the time. Huawei?
Yeah, Huawei.
Huawei seems to be using dubious tactics to try to reverse engineer technology from Apple and other competitors in their electronics market. This report came out today, and they said that in November, as an example, a Huawei engineer heading up smartwatch development tracked down a supplier that helped build the Apple Watch heart rate sensor, the informant said. The person arranged a meeting with the claim that he could offer a manufacturing contract, but instead probed for details about the Apple Watch, an anonymous executive of the supplier said.
Yeah.
So do you think this is widespread and that's what's happening? Huawei is just actively...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. Bad.
That's the way they operate. It's fairly well known in the industry that Huawei cheats like that. But they're like not the only ones. I mean, industry personnel in the United States do the same thing. They're looking for an edge, and so they go around nosing around. I've always gotten the biggest kick in the olden days when the computer business was a little more competitive. It was always the hard disk guys who did all the gossiping. If you were got really tight with some hard disk sales guys, they knew everything. Everything way in advance of what was coming out.
But this is so close to the Chinese government, as any Chinese company is, that I think the problem is that there's more concern about the problem with potential espionage and the potential...
And there should be.
Yeah, I agree. So let's see if that actually is going to be something that they consider when they get this deal, no deal done. That's what we need. We need Howie Mandel to run this whole China trade thing. pick a box. Pick a tariff suitcase there. All right. States are now facing a new danger as legal marijuana spreads across the country. Explosives and fires at cannabis factories are sending workers to the hospital with severe burns, revealing the nascent industry's lack of proper safety standards.
Yeah, bull crap.
Yeah. 33 states, 10 different explosions. Social media is under attack, although investors don't care. Facebook.
Yeah, by the way, 33 states, 10 different explosions. And there's probably 5,000 people manufacturing. This is the extraction of the various primary constituents of hemp using solvents extraction, and you get explosions.
Yeah. I'm sure this happens in a lot of industries. And they're just picking on these guys. Social media is under attack. Investors don't seem to care. Facebook and other big tech companies should be subject to a compulsory code of ethics to tackle the spread of fake news.
Duh.
Mm-hmm. This is from a British lawmaker. They said and I quote, in a damning report that singled out Facebook chief executive Mark Zuck for what is said to be a failure of leadership and personal responsibility. They said that the company has provided ineffective in stopping harmful content and disinformation on their platforms. The news that came out this weekend about Facebook, how they had all these various pages that were being funded indirectly through Russian, through the Russian state, and how they weren't putting disclaimers on the videos. Did you see that whole thing?
No, I missed the whole thing because it's this kind of thing I pay very little attention to.
But the problem is, as we're approaching the next election, and for whatever it's worth, this opportunity to spread information, misinformation, this whole Facebook thing, why is it not locked down? I don't understand.
I don't understand what you want.
I want to lock down so that we can't have...
What do you mean by lock down?
I guess get rid of the goddamn advertising and grow up already. Put it on a subscription basis.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
No, but that's, I find that if anybody could say anything they want and hide their identities.
Well, that's supposed to be, that's supposed to not be, that is not supposed to be an option on Facebook.
But it's happening. It's happening because they're hiring people to put up pages, and then hiring those people are hiring people to make statements or targeting people that have basic philosophies that are like what they want. So if they want to go against a particular area, they're funding it, but it's being funded through a state funding through Russia, whoever else is out there. So you have multiple layers of between the actual party.
If, if any of these things actually worked, I think Procter & Gamble would be the biggest. They'd be pushing that kind of thing themselves.
Why?
To sell soap.
Well, they actually pulled out of their direct, their,
yeah,
what they call it, direct marketing. We have an insider scam. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Wednesday filed a lawsuit against a former Apple lawyer. This is the guy, I think, that was in charge of some of the securities area of Apple. Charged him with insider trading that he traded ahead of the quarterly earnings announcements. So this guy, Gene Levoff, exploited his position as a senior lawyer and got information on several times over the years, made about $382,000 in illegal profits. And he avoided losses on his stock as well when things weren't good. So he would review the information and then make trades on it. Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah, that's so, not too bright.
So one of the news stories that's circulating around, I think, is really interesting how they're twisting this. It's true, but it's being twisted. So here's the story. Americans who are accustomed to receiving an income tax refund tend to file their taxes early. I don't know about that, but okay. Often in late January or February. And when now what's happening is that a lot of these filers are finding that they're surprised because they actually are owing money to the IRS. What happened is that because the tax code changed and lowered the withholding requirements and everybody was getting more in their paychecks,
yeah,
they weren't putting enough away to actually get the same size refund as they were getting before.
Right.
Now, we know that money that comes in a refund is just money that you overpaid to the government.
Yeah, it's your money anyway.
Right.
So it's not really you're not getting any money from the government.
Right. I can't tell you how many people, young people say to me, oh, I'm getting money from the government this year. I'm like, no, you're not.
No. I can't believe anyone would think that.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting a tax return. The government's giving me money back. I'm like, no, that's not really the case. I try to explain it to him. It just goes in circles.
But no, that's impossible. Yeah. It's a concept that is not possible to understand.
Right. I get a tax return. No. You file a tax return. You get your tax money back. So what happened is that a lot of people are doing this didn't put away enough money because of the withholding requirements changed automatically of the money that was coming out of their paychecks. And they didn't adjust it properly to estimate how much they would actually have to pay at the end and therefore getting less money or having to pay money.
Yeah.
But again, you had the money to begin with.
It's befuddling.
Yep. I want to, before we get to this next part here, I want to play a little game. Do not mention the name of this stock that we're going to look at.
Okay.
Okay, because I want people to go and see the chart over on DH Unplugged, episode number 444, and go to the show notes page and check this out. This is one of the ugliest charts that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I'm wondering where we were when we could have shorted it.
Now, what's interesting, I'll mention it's a telecom company. And this stock in 2017 was at about 50. And now it's trading at $1.30.
Yeah, talk about
I had this service for a while.
You had what?
I had this service for a while. I actually used this company. Oh, my God, they were awful.
Why didn't you short it then?
Probably worse or just as bad as Pitney Bowes. If you've ever had the experience of working with Pitney Bowes, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Huh.
Oh, what a bunch of idiots.
What way?
They can't get your billing right. They can't change anything. They don't know what they're doing. They have products that don't work, but they tell you that they do. They trying to get something like an automated credit card to pay your Pitney Bowes bill is very difficult.
No, I'm talking about these guys.
Oh, the what do they do? Or how bad? Oh, how bad were they? Well, first they made me sign a contract that was, you know, for a period of time. And then I said I wanted out of it. They were trying to charge me the whole contract deal. I'm like, what are you talking about? This, for this particular service, you don't, I'm not paying you 2 years of a contract. And the service was just horrible. It was just terrible. I don't want to give away the company, but it was a terrible connection. It was a terrible company. Working there with them was impossible.
And why didn't you short it right then and there?
I should have. I would have actually, I would have, I got, well, I got rid of them and I should have bought what I went into now. That stock chart looks really good. The stock chart of the company that I'm using now instead of this one is unbelievable.
Well, you could tell us that name.
That's Ring Central, RNG. Take a look at that stuff.
Oh, I thought that was Ring Central, really?
Yeah, RNG. They have the voice over IP.
Yeah.
STOC.
That looks like.
Yeah, Ring Central. It's at $100. If you look at it over the last year, it's gone from 1 year, $60 to $100.
No.
Last 5 years, it's gone from $22 to $100.
That's not bad.
And it's an all-time high.
It's a nice-looking chart, except for the bump.
Yeah. But this company is great. I mean, RingCentral, they give you for a reasonable price, you buy your phone, and then for a reasonable price, you get the voice over IP that works great. On top of that, you get a soft phone for your computer. You get it on your mobile app, a mobile app for it. So if you want to, you're in your office talking on the phone, you want to transfer it to your cell phone, your mobile through the app, you do that, you can leave the office and talk. Or if you're out of the office, you can actually answer or transfer internally into the office from outside the office. It has a meeting app. It has faxing built in. It has a conferencing where you can do multiple, or not, well, it has conferencing and meeting app built in, a whole bunch of stuff. History, information, it's a very good app.
Sounds like it.
Yep, pretty good. It's like $45 a month per phone or something like that. It's like nothing. Versus like $200 that I was paying per phone before.
Okay.
Let's see here.
You want people to go look at the chart.
Yeah, okay. Just take a look at how bad this is. I bet you can't guess how bad it is.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to imagine.
Just Inc., the former company that was named Hampton Creek, if you remember who they are. They're the ones that were selling the mayonnaise without the eggs.
Oh, those guys. And they kept buying their own product so it made it look like it was moving.
Right. They're coming to the markets.
I love that bit, by the way.
Now they're coming to the markets and looking for $200 million in funding. So just to let you know, I'm also looking for $200 million in funding. What the hell?
Hey.
And can I say something
else? I am too.
And neither of the products that John or I have eggs in it either. So there you go.
Back.
Right. Yeah. So they're coming to market again to try to – and they're going after Chinese investors, naturally. Get some money there. Yes. Yep. This is time of the show where we tell you or ask you nicely, but tell you that, you know, the only way that we continue on, do what we do, is from people like you. And we thank you very much and all the people that do, in fact, support the show. But if you haven't supported the show and, you know, like, I listen for free. I listen to podcasts for free. I get on Spotify now. What do I care? Which we are on Spotify. You know what? Yeah, that's not the play. The play is that the more you give, the better we get. That I think is a truism. So go over to dhunplugged.com, put a couple of bucks forward, do a monthly contribution, show 444. Let's see what you could do. You could also do $12, which is 444 added together or times 3. You could do that also. Or you could do
Can do anything you want.
You can do everything you want. It's true. That is true. We have the close to the pin going on right now. A few more days to get your price guess in to win the all-famous DH Unplugged t-shirt. And, of course, your winner certificate. You go over to DH Unplugged, click on the close to the pin for Procter & Gamble. And, John, you need to give me a price guess.
Yes, I'll have one sent to you as soon as I'm done with this show.
Yep, and you can go over there and hopefully win a shirt. You can also go, there's a little link there that says click here for more charts on TradingView. People, if you want to track and find a great trading or a great charting platform that's web-based that also has an enormous array of cryptocurrencies on there as well, and you can also mark up the charts, you can write your own code, that's a really cool place to take just a side note.
Hey, by the way, did you know that Procter & Gamble closed at 99.99?
Is that right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's a lot of nines.
Hmm. And what's the square root? What's the cube root of 9999?
3.3.
Yep. There you go.
I don't know. That's true. That's probably not true.
What do you mean? Of course it's true.
Just throwing it out there as a possibility.
All right. I want to follow up on something that's been bugging me. When your throat hurts, you eat a.
You what?
I don't know. What do you put? What do you, a throat? What do you, when you have a cold and you have a scratchy throat and try to soothe it, you.
A lozenge. Yeah. Or you say lozenger.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of activity on this.
not in my mailbox.
I've gotten several emails and I've got plenty of tweets on this. And it seems that there's a lot of people on the lozenger side. I'm just saying. Lozenger. Sounds ridiculous to you, right?
Yeah, it does, actually. It sounds totally ridiculous.
Okay. Something that's interesting, this seems that if you search Google, I don't know if this happens. I'm going to search it right now. If you search Google for the best toilet paper in the world, let me copy that and paste it. Let's see what
happens. Yeah. You're going to get somebody advertising on Google.
You get the picture of the Pakistani flag.
Oh, somebody's Google washed that thing?
Yep.
That's funny.
Yep. You get, they hijacked it. It's pictures. Let's see the images. Let's go to the images page. Yep. Pakistani flag everywhere. The whole thing. Yep.
Pakistani flag. Let me see if it works from my coast. Best toilet paper in the world.
And go to the images on Google.
Yep. All Pakistani flags.
So it seems the results.
On the page was just not the word. Just text. It says Google says no proof that search results for toilet paper showed packet, and so there's a story. The story's coming up now about it.
Yeah,
Google's in denial.
Yeah, the results are believed to be the work of protesters, acting in response to attack in India, in Indian administered Kashmir, that left at least 40 soldiers dead. That must take a lot of work to get that done.
I don't know how they do it.
Better yet, I'd like to hire them.
Yes. I'd buy them all in.
Right?
Yeah, the two of us, we can have some fun with that.
Yep. So the question is this going to ever happen? Is the wall going to ever happen? There's now a coalition. The wall.
The wall's being built as we speak.
That seems a coalition of 16 states led by California, of course. Suing President Donald Trump's administration over his decision to declare he has more lawsuits.
It keeps him busy. The last No Agenda show, Adam had a really outstanding breakdown of what he thinks is going on with this emergency. And they can sue him all they want because, as we proved on the show before, there are a number of standing laws where he doesn't have to declare anything. He can just execute, which is going to account for most of the wall building. And this is just a distraction. That's his theory.
So why not go that route to begin with?
That's what I said too, but it's like the way things work with Trump is that everyone likes to, you know, bandwagon the guy with just jumping all over about something. And the theory is here that he's playing these people with this emergency proclamation, and he may or may not win it in the Supreme Court. Is beside the point. The wall is going up.
The wall is going up. Okay, there you go. You heard it right here. Roger Stone, not the smartest guy in the world, it seems. He may be in some big trouble after he posted an Instagram photo of U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson. It had a picture of her and a crosshairs target in the background.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be
they put a gag order on him within the last week. So he's supposed to shut up. But I think he can make the argument, and I think the argument could be made because especially with after the Kamala Harris incident recently, where apparently turns out she's probably not doing her own tweeting, that Stone's enough of a public figure. He can say, I think, and get away with it. I don't do that. It's not my tweet. Yeah, it's on my account. I have an account, but somebody else has been doing the tweeting for me or just for themselves. And I have nothing to do with it. I do not supervise these tweets.
And
I think he could get away with it.
Unless it came from directly from his iPhone. You know, you could see where it came from. Tweet show where they came from.
Yeah.
So then you'd have to question whether or not.
Well, if it came from an iPhone, it doesn't have to be his.
That's true. Good point. He could have somebody else could have his account logged in on their phone.
Yeah.
Then you could go back. Can you go back to? Is there, I wonder if there's any other further ability for Twitter to identify the actual phone from maybe a Mac ID or some kind of a number related to that.
Probably
phone.
Not. Mm. That'd be too much logging.
Too much logging. All right. Last thing on the list today before we get to the stocks. Before, of course, we do that, you got to donate. So I'll just mention that again. Tourists, employees, and children visiting the Grand Canyon National Park Museum collection were unknowingly exposed to radiation. Did you hear about this?
This story has got me kind of befuddled. I used the word twice today. Hmm. Because what is a bucket of uranium doing in the museum next to an exhibit and has been there for years? Two buckets.
So what happened
one
is that
one bucket apparently is so full that the lid's not even on it.
So for nearly two decades at the Grand Canyon in Arizona, tourists and employees and children, of course you have to put that in there because it makes it sound really bad, right? I'm surprised they didn't put like pregnant women, you know, and stuff like that in here, right? Passed by.
Well, I'll tell you, before you go on, if I was a pregnant woman and had some sort of a weird, like a deformed baby or had some issues with my pregnancy and I had visited that museum, I'd be suing them today.
Yeah, no kidding. So it seems that there was three buckets stored in the National Parks Museum Collection Building, unaware that they were being exposed to radiation. So there was this 5-gallon containers that were brimming with uranium ore. First of all, seriously, let's get back to your point here. Why ever would uranium ore be in a 5-gallon container? 5-gallon container is not very big, by the way, right? Why would we have uranium ore in a 5-gallon container that was above ground? And why, again, like you said, why is it in a museum?
What's it doing there?
I mean, was it a...
Does anybody know how to clean up the place or maybe sort things out and say, what's these buckets doing here 20 years ago?
20 years ago, there's just buckets laying around. Or even if they were inside an exhibit for some reason, holding up a table or some other reason, how did it get there to begin with?
Yeah. No, the whole thing is baffling. And you know how it was discovered, right?
No, I don't.
Some kid, one of the sons, I think it was the son of one of the workers that work at the museum or the park service, is a Geiger counter nut.
Oh.
And he's just roaming around all the time. He's like these guys with these metal detectors. Only this kid is just roaming around the Geiger counter. So he's got a Geiger counter on him. He's going through the museum and the thing just goes nuts, you know. Whatever noise it makes, and it's pinning the needle, and he says, "Hey, Dad, look!" And then they find this uranium because of this kid and his Geiger counter. We need Geiger counter kids, more of them.
That's like saying that, you know, that there was in Grand Central Station there was a bucket of this sitting in the corner, even if it was in a bathroom or in a closet. Why?
For 20 years.
How does it get there? I don't understand how it gets there.
How does it get there? And why is it there for 20 years?
I don't think it's stupid.
You'd think they'd have an investigation.
Yeah, you would think. Well, this is time that we get over to the stocks and we look at what's going on with our weekly picks. I'll mention this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. And in fact, nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk along with the risk of loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation, and we assume no risk, as these are not considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, John C. Dvorak, may invest in any securities mentioned. And I'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section. You can go over to DH Unplugged, click on that, and there's a live updating list. And thank you for somebody sent me a note that it wasn't updating properly. We fixed that. There's a live updating list of the stocks that are still on, those that have been stopped out. And again, it's just a game. We don't have real money in this. But you go over to dhunplugged.com and see that what's going on there. Also mentioned, by the way, just for the hell of it here, Horowitz Company is a registered investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it's properly registered or excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training. My compliance people are like all over me lately. But I don't know. I think that the disclaimers about the whole thing is enough. Don't you think? The whole thing, the first
part. Yeah, you can record it and then hit the button.
All right, let's take a look at the, where are we here? I got to click the button here. Where is it? You know, I don't have these up. All right. Now they're up. Looks kind of the same. Nothing exciting here.
No, it hasn't done anything.
Nothing. I mean, a little bit on Tilray. We have earnings coming out in a couple of days. Church and Dwight. The Love stock is up a little bit. Tempur Sealy was stopped out. I mean, Tempur Sealy just can't seem to get the right timing on that one.
This is like, yeah, your timing is off with these guys.
Way off. Way off. Selectra Biosciences up big. Your bottom feeding insiders 20% stop is up 16.87%. Medtronic is up 6.64%. That's good. I'm going into one position this week, or at least in the game. I think that there is some possibility that some of this maybe will stick. Finally,
no, you're taking it. You know, I think you're just sore. When I counter picked your Facebook and I made out.
You did. Well, you can do it again if you want.
No.
I'm going short looking for 147 on Facebook. If you look at the chart, there's a bit of a gap hole in there. And of course, we know we came down from the 220s down to the 120, 130s or so, came back up to 170, kind of slightly rolling over after his earnings a little bit, down from about 172 down to about 162, I think it is right now, somewhere about 162 and a quarter. So I'm looking for about 147 on this. We'll have a 10% stop like we do normally with the game, but we'll see how that plays. And what do you got?
So I've got two picks.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Let me expand. I have a penny stock, which I needed 20% on.
Okay.
GNCA.
That's not general. GNCA. Is that? Oh. Is that a
Geneseea?
Yeah, Geneseea. Yep. Biosciences. Is that what that is?
Yeah. Now, there's two reasons here. One is an insider buying a lot of it, mm-hmm. and it's a 50-cent stock, but they're buying $4 million worth of it or some more. And it also has that funny chart that I was picking up against recently, which you have a tunnel down and you have your top, the top, if it can break through the top of the top of the tunnel.
So charts and 20%.
Charts 20%. And it's, if it gets to, I believe if it can get to 58 cents, I think it can go up to a buck.
There you go.
That would be something.
Put that in here, put this in here. 220.
Now the other one, which I have to go back and get back to my list, I'll tell you what it is. It's, and I know I picked this before, and this is my version of your stuff. You know, where you pick these temper Sealy Tempur-Matic or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Kinder Morgan.
Oh, KM something.
KMI. And this is because Richard Kinder himself has just bought about $7 million worth of the stock.
Wow.
And so it's already moving up. I mean, it's not as though I'm hitting, buying it at the bottom. This stock is up there. Well, considering.
Right.
7.15 or so. Right. So I think Kinder Morgan will be my other pick, and we'll see how that does.
All right. I'll mention, of course, each and every week on Thursdays and on Sundays, you can listen to John and Adam Curry on the No Agenda Show, where they break down, deconstruct all of the news and politics and things that are going on in a way that you haven't heard it before. So I encourage you to go listen to that. Of course, on Sundays, we release the Disciplined Investor Podcast. This week, I was talking about, I was miffed. There was a tweet out there. Did I tell you about this? There was a tweet out there.
The one that says you up talk.
No, that's a different one. But there's a tweet out there from somebody that was talking about how he's a financial advisor and he decided, oh, you know what? And people ask me, what do? I have a new line. I tell them that I basically hold the hand of something, I'm paraphrasing, hold the hand of investors through all the bad times and good times, not making sure they don't do anything stupid with their money. And you know, for about 30 years and kind of tell them it's like working like it's paint drying. In other words, the idea that his job is a psychologist for investors. And he doesn't have, you know, just kind of lay it out there in an allocation, some kind of allocation in your portfolio, and just set it and forget it and just make sure that investors don't change their mind over the years. I mean, that
sounds that wasn't that what Bernie Madoff used to say?
I mean, this is the Warren Buffett style concept, but he, don't forget, bought companies, and yes, he never sold them, but there's a whole different animal going on there. And, you know, there was a whole host of things that I listed, which really irritated me about this comment and this whole nouveau hipster style of, I don't care. And, you know, nothing bothers me and I got to do this to be different, but yet be the same. And I think I called it the cult of the FinPro. Really irritated me.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. So listen to that on the Disciplined Investor podcast. You can find that, of course, both of these. Is No Agenda yet on Spotify?
No, we are not doing Spotify for a number of reasons.
Well, we won't get into it. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the fact that they steal from you.
That would be the main reason.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to end it there, and I'm going to bid you adieu and tell you I'm going to see you next week.
Okay, next week. Talk to you Tuesday.
Right, ciao.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.